Thank you for joining us and welcome to another edition of Answers Network. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. And for those of you that have been listening, sending in questions and comments, thank you so much. Please continue to help spread the word that Answers Network brings on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases, entertain, while bringing answers and options to making our lives happier, healthier, more successful. If you can't listen to the show live, if you listen to it live, you're doing it now. If you can't listen to it live, go to our website at answers.network and browse through a variety of heartfelt and very enlightening topics. I'm confident that there will be something there that will help you have a better day. Now, I also want you to do me a big favor. Please forward one of our shows to your social media group or to someone you know who can benefit from today's topic. I want you to know that this is just one powerful way that we can make a positive difference together. Now, our topic today, which is also the title of our guest's new book, is It's Go Time. Build the business and life you really want. So author, speaker, and entrepreneur Jill McCabe, she, in this book, distills 20 plus years of experience helping 5 to 8 figure entrepreneurs create purpose-driven businesses, coaches, consultants, creatives, and expertise-based entrepreneurs this exciting model. And it's something I'm certainly looking forward to. And one of the things, you know, so lacking an understanding of how to choose projects and execute on shorter timelines is, I know, one of my problems. And after reading part of the book, I realize it's one of the problems that many other people have in their business life. With the book, It's Go Time, you'll learn everything you need to build a business that works. Your reward will be renewed motivation, unstoppable productivity, and a clear path to the business and life you want. Jill, welcome to Answers Network.
Alan, thank you for a beautiful introduction. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I love what you're doing. I love the book. And I want you to know that there's lots of books that I read, and I think, okay, this is great for society. This is great for everything. And I think this is really good for everyone right now. But personally, I thought, you know, I feel like I'm being spoken to, which then made me think, I think there's probably a lot of other people that'll be reading this book and think, I think she's speaking to me. So tell us a little bit more about you and what brought you to the point to decide to write a book of this magnitude.
Well, thank you for the deep compliments about the book. And I'm extremely happy to know that it speaks to you. I think it speaks to a lot of people because I go so deep into what's been holding us back. And I think that is the whole point of it's go time, is to understand why hasn't it already been go time for people. And I think we end a little early, you know, a little pre-COVID with having a career on the rise. And then I got smashed down like one of those little things at a parade, you know, that you whack after a car accident, and then sort of a decade of trying to find my calling that would feel deeply satisfactory, and learning that my brain wasn't open to that calling, that was the reason why I hadn't found it thus far, and understanding that the path to my getting going on projects, or really even figuring out what it is I wanted to do, that there was some deep wounds in my brain, and that I had to heal those in order to be able to see my possibilities.
Well, and that makes a lot of sense. And I know that for a lot of people, I think they see it, or it's what's available to them. And I think in many cases, and especially in my generation, many people end up, because of a sense of responsibility, staying in a position or something that they feel they're obligated to provide for their family, but they aren't really getting everything that they need out of that. What's some of your experiences, or with some of the people you've worked with, to where that becomes the issue? And what are some of the best ways to take that step? Because I think it's kind of scary, because you're stepping away from security, which we're all told is very important, to step into something that's kind of new, and yet we know it's closer to our passion.
Yeah, great question. A few things come to mind because it is a complex question when we have obligations to people who count on us. And I actually don't believe somebody should take a big risk. I laugh because I'm the business coach who will talk you out of it first. Like, I'd love to work with you, but first let me try to scare you off. And I do that because building a business, the thing with, you know, let's say an expert or a consultant or even an artist is building a business. It doesn't matter if it's a big business or a small business. I now have, you know, 20 years in consulting and leading businesses, and it's an undertaking. And to get to a point where you're sort of made in the shade, let's call it, it's going to be 3 to 5 years of working toward a singular focus. And that's not something that everybody has in them. So a lot of people who work with me, I'm like, keep your day job. I describe it this way. First of all, don't quit it all and start your business, because there's a whole bunch of steps to go through. And the thing is, especially if you're, is that it doesn't require your full-time attention. It actually, there's things that take time to execute, but if you follow the steps, you can do this in sort of, you know, the couple of hours a day, or carve out a few days a week and advance your business. And I describe, I think I say in chapter 6, I sort of describe the moment when you should be all in on your business. And I describe it like if you were buying yourself a new house, if you bought a plot of land and you're going to build a house, you wouldn't just go sit on that plot of grass or dirt. That would be dangerous. There'd be big, heavy equipment coming and you wouldn't be safe. But at some point you'd be building that house, and the architects and the structural designers, and eventually you get to a point where you might not have every last pillow on the couch, but you'd have like crates to sit on, and you'd see that it was inevitable that that house was going to get finished. And that's probably when you'd leave your other employment. And that's really where I focus. When they make that decision, they're making it with the evidence that their success is inevitable rather than a hope and a dream. And we go through and we prove the marketing, we prove the test. So I do think be careful. And that's why I do want to teach people the order of operations, so you know what to check off your list. The second thing, and with your permission, Alan,
go ahead, because it's so funny that as you were saying that, the thought in my mind I was about to say is, okay, this is great, but, you know, share with us what the order of operations is, and we're on the same path.
Oh, that's well, great. Okay, so I was on a segue, but I'll come back to, okay, I promise to get to order of operations in a moment, because it's different than what people think. But I also wanted to address, because you talked about obligation to family, and there hasn't been one person who didn't come to me ready to go after their dreams and then immediately backtrack because their family would somehow. Fast answer is your family and people, you know, people's kids, and we know this from science, are going to follow what you do and not what you said to do. And so if you want them to go after your dreams, you must go after yours. And I can tell you from working with people in their 40s to 60s, for like, that is my specialty. So they have families, they have obligations. And every single family I've ever worked with gets happier all the way around. The kids get happier, the spouses get happier. I will tell you that I have been told that bedrooms get happier. Like, when we're actually satisfying our needs psychologically and our contribution, people around us rise up too. So I really wanted to say that is an erroneous choice. We think we have this choice of our passion versus theirs. That's actually, so if we're happy and inspired, guess what happens to the people around us? But we've been told it's this choice. It's not correct. I call that choosing your Kool-Aid carefully. That belief is not serving you. Okay, but you wanted to know the order of operations. The simple answer to that is you explore before you exploit. This is a well-understood model from that you would learn if you went and you did an MBA. That businesses, and the problem is small businesses don't realize they're still businesses. They're just small. And so they think somehow that the rules don't apply, but they do. And what is exploit? So explore means test your idea, test your market before you run off and spend a fortune on it and put your reputation and years behind it. Makes sense, right? So they would do market research, market testing. I've got this idea. Do people want it? Will they buy it? Will they buy it for a price that I can make money at? All those questions would be a part of it. exploit is things like what I'm doing now. Now, I'm not trying to exploit anyone by doing this, but the concept is I'm picking up a megaphone. I'm saying, hey, everybody, I do this work. And it's getting PR, it's getting press, it's being very, very visible in social media, it's having marketing, it's billboards on the highway, if you will, whatever it is, but it's telling the world you have something. And what a lot of people are doing is they're not completing their explore phase adequately. They're not creating a signature program, something that they're known for. So they have no competitive advantage. And then they end up struggling for years with a title that sounds like everybody else's title and no kind of clear difference to what they do or how they do it. And that leads them to being in a very competitive market and struggling in their business. And so in the book, I just lay out, you know, this is how you test your, this is how you pick your idea. This is how you test your market. This is what you're looking for. When you hit these checkpoints, then by all means, get out there and tell the world.
Yeah. And I like that. And it's, I think one of the big issues, like you're saying, that a lot of them, it's one of the things that a lot of us make mistakes at is, you know, I think the old saying was, you know, you can build a better mousetrap, but if nobody knows that you have it, it's not there, you know, so whatever it is, whatever that passion is that becomes our, what we think is doing something better, we've learned if we don't let people know, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really exist to the majority of people.
Absolutely. And, you know, my first career was I was a restaurateur and I did very well in that business. And I, you know, really got to believing that, first of all, you don't have to let people know, because I got to believing that a good restaurant is on word of mouth and, you know, you don't have to market. But honestly, pre-internet, nobody was using internet. And when someone even said I needed a website, I was like, that's absurd. You know, like, I recall saying that. But so absolutely, we have to let people know. But the mousetrap piece is something that I'm going to say for any consultants, coaches, artists, even, is very interesting, because most I meet do not have one. And so I can, you know, if someone's like always wondering where the next client's going to come from and they're, you know, overly dependent on referrals and don't have streams of traffic to them, it's a sign to me they haven't created a signature process. And so I talk a lot about that in It's Go Time, because what, you know, because I focus on people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, they have a world of lifetime experience. And it's always the case that experience from diverse and seemingly disconnected parts of your life gather in what will legacy you. That's so just a mousetrap, that's so distinctly you, and no one else could do it because they didn't do this when they were in high school, or they didn't do this in college, or they didn't have these jobs in these diverse industries that allow them to pull together concepts that are unique. And that's where I focus with a lot of clients, is bringing together that thing that can only be them from the drawing forth of all many parts of the best of the past into the future. And I think that when we just kind of get a certification for some skill set and try to hang a shingle, that's not enough of a differentiator. We're automatically competing with too many people. That's why your life is your, like, your life is the thing that people want. And a lot of people don't believe that. Like, who, me, little old me? And it's like, yes, you.
No, I get it. Okay, so first two, and so what would be the next thing? Are we now going to go into something like more branding-ish, or what would come next?
So the next thing, once you've created, let's say, a signature process to get somebody from A to, let's call it A to B or A to C, actually the next step is to create more processes for them. So any good business is going to have more than one product that they sell. So, one of the things I do with my clients is, Seth Godin talks about this a lot. You want to have several things that the same person would buy versus several, one product that several people would buy. And in today's, it used to be, if you think, you know, those of us who are older know that we would find out about businesses, okay, through mail, would walk around and we would see businesses, or there'd be advertisements on television, newspaper, radio. Okay. That's how we found out about businesses. But today it's a lot different. And the old way we found out about businesses and marketing enabled a lot of businesses to have a diverse audience because it was like, well, anyone who lives in this area is kind of stuck coming to me, right? Or, and there'd be really geographical boundaries around who we did business with. But that is gone. I have clients all over the I'm from Canada. I have clients, most of my clients are in the States. I have clients in Europe. Like it's, it doesn't, we don't have that. And so now we can really niche down and really figure out a niche within a niche within a niche. So, and that is so critical because to try to go out into the ad before you do the advertisement, you're going to spend more money than anyone has trying to reach, you know, a diverse group of people. And I'll give you an example. I had a client I was talking to the other day, and her magic is helping women find their voice in relationships when they don't feel comfortable speaking up. And when she came to me, she was looking at, you know, I can help women do this. Doesn't matter if they're 20 or if they're 70. And I said, okay, what's a term that a 20-year-old might use? And 20-year-olds, if you're listening and I get this wrong, I'm sure I will, and I'm sorry, just forgive me, but go with the example. So there was a point at which a couple of years ago, it's probably already stale, but you know, youth was using the term sick to refer to something that was really good. Oh my gosh, that's sick, right?
Yes.
Well, can you imagine marketing that told 70-year-old women how sick it was to be your full enough? I don't need to pay you to help me to be sicker, right? And and the point is that we really can't be trying to speak to so many people because it would cause us to speak very differently. And that if we can really go down, and it turns out that her magic is really helping women in same-sex relationships find their voice. Now, that is incredibly pointed and poignant. And now all of a sudden we're like, wow, women midlife who have found themselves in a relationship where they're afraid to speak their voice becomes very clear who she's speaking to. So that's the kind of thing that I help people identify.
Okay. Yeah, so because earlier we were mentioning things that were more products, but so now that's much more service driven.
Yes.
You know, and so you had mentioned in regards to having more products. When you mentioned that, the thought came to mind for me is, and again, I don't know that I'm getting all this right, but you know, like I think they call them funnels or whatever, but it seems like to where, you know, you go in, you're online, you go in to buy a product, and then it immediately kicks you over to a similar product, you know, and it's like, okay, you know, if you like this, you're probably going to like this. And anyway, that's kind of where I thought that you were going with that is that, you know, somebody has the best razor, you know, for shaving or whatever. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get that and you go, yeah, but this is the greatest cream and this is the greatest cologne. And this is, and we're going to give you a discount if you get it now and you bundle it.
Yes.
So that's kind of where I was going when you were talking about products.
So in a way, so that's interesting. I'm glad you pointed that out because so what I help people do is create products from their knowledge. Mm-hmm. So I do call it a product because you want to bring. So I create expertise-based productized systems. So, and that funnel piece that you're talking about is exactly right. Those funnels tend to really not work. And I help a lot of people fix their funnels because their niching isn't correct. And so what happens is a lot of people run off and they're like, you know, build a list and get an email list and get all these people coming to my website. And they do. And then they don't have the sales they're looking for. And what's happening there is that I can just go read their website and I can tell right away, I can look at any social media post they do. And I can tell right away if they've got clarity around the product, really. And even if it's a service, I think of it as a product because I really think of it as what's the transformation. It's not about, you know, if I went to see a surgeon for a stiff shoulder, you know, I don't want to hear that. You know, you're freaking me out, right? I just want to, like, after, can I, will I be able to move my shoulder? You know? Like,
Yeah, he's going to
question.
focus on the result.
I don't need you to tell me all the things you're doing. And so that's like, so the result, the product in that case, even though it's a service, a surgery, the product in that case is going to be, you know, a flexible or a shoulder that's moving again if I had a frozen shoulder. So that's that focus. And then he might, I don't know, he might have colleagues in his practice who do knees and hips, and you know, you might say, "Wow, I got that joint moving." But no, the point is, or he might have exercises for shoulders after that. So we would want to think of other types of things that somebody recovering from, let's say, a frozen shoulder might have, for, you know, just a random example. So we do, like, Seth Godin has a lot of really good stuff on this, but we do really want to think of all person. And someone's needs advance, like people who come to me, their first, and so if you're thinking about this for your business, ask yourself, after you solve their problem, what is their new problem? So with us, people don't know what they're going to do. They know they want to start a business, but they're not sure what or what their signature program could be. We're like, great, 8 weeks later, oh my gosh, they know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly what it is, and they know how to build it. Then they're like, oh, well, now I have a problem because I have to build this thing and I don't know the best practice to build it. It's like, great. Well, we can help you do that. And so we have a 1-year incubator that takes them through building it, marketing it. Like, we anticipate the new needs. And so we create programs that match the growing needs of an audience who's solving their problems, right? I was decorating my place recently. I got the couch. Then all of a sudden I needed the chair. New problem.
Oh, don't take me there. I'm going through that right now with
okay.
my house. So I get it.
Okay.
I get it. Well, yeah, believe me, I get it. We're going to take a break, but for everybody out there, we're speaking with Jill McCabe, and the book is called It's Go Time, Build the Business and Life You Really Want. When we come back, Jill, I'm going to ask you about psychological blocks, because I think that that's another issue. I know you touch on it in the book, but I think that's another issue that many of us are dealing with. So for everybody, stay with us. You're listening to or watching Answers Network. We'll be right back.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. You're listening to or watching Answers Network. We're speaking with Jill McCabe, and my question before we went to the break had to do with psychological or subconscious blocks. So, Jill, share with us how people can remove these subconscious blocks, if it's to money, to success, and somehow, you know, or even if their psychological block is just being seen or being focused on.
These are all common, and I think that people who find themselves working with me tend to have all three of those. So I have a lot of experience. First of all, just to give some reflection on a block, what we mean by a blocked money or being seen, is that there is some part of the brain that your brain, if you're going, yeah, that's me, is actually concerned about having more money or and people are like, no, that can't be, but we usually find them. And a big one that comes up, especially for professionals looking to transition to entrepreneurship, or people who haven't climbed as high on the leadership ladder as they expected, and they're super talented, so they can't understand why. That's a lot of people who work with me are in that situation. And when I see incredibly talented people who haven't climbed higher in organizations, or who've wanted to be an entrepreneur for years and never took the leap, it's often because the concept of being out in front has become scary. And, frequently men I've worked with, and they've even forgotten these things from the past, but when just a simple series of questions about, I might start with, think of a time in your life when things were going really well and then they weren't. And that can be a simple question that you think of. Sometimes it's with men, I've had several stories of bullying. Mm-hmm. So somewhere, in the, early high school ages, where things go from all play and all of a sudden some boys are getting a lot bigger, and that next thing you know, they have a bullying incident. And sometimes they're afraid to talk to their father about it because they don't feel strong. And so they'll keep that quiet. And they learn a lesson, keep quiet, stay under the radar, stay safe. And so they might join, I've had men who join mathematics clubs or computer clubs and go on to have impressive careers, okay, really impressive careers. But there is this really subtle thing in the background. And so when it's time for them to put on that leadership role, it's tough. And women, and again, these are just the experience I have with my client, this for everyone. I'm just saying these are the people who find their way to working with me. Right. A lot of women have been told, don't outshine your sister. Or don't stand out. That's not late, And so that they had these messages growing up saying that it wasn't courteous and it didn't make other people feel good when they spoke too well of themselves or when they said, look at me too much. And so this can lead to blocks to being willing, once you have built your mousetrap and once you do have a signature process that you're known for and you're just like really uncomfortable with social media or you're really uncomfortable putting yourself out there and things keep falling apart, that's usually a sign. So you could look at your past. And of course, I've had other stories where people got in trouble from a family member for something they didn't do. And so they decided to keep a low profile. But it's these highly charged emotions. It literally, where you've told yourself, hey, keep a low profile. And that doesn't work. If you're going to be an entrepreneur, you're going to have to be willing to say, hey, I do this thing and I'm really passionate about it. I'm really good at it. And I'd really like to help you with this. And you're going to have to be able to say that a lot more than people say yes to you. So you're going to have a willingness to say it a whole lot and be okay with that.
Yeah. It's interesting. I didn't think about the bullying part as being one of the subconscious things that was sitting back, but I see it, but I hadn't thought about it. But I was wondering, do you find it getting worse? And I'm thinking along the lines of there's so much, I call it political or whatever, but there's so much, it's like an organized down, it's us against them, very divisive stuff out there. Do you find that is also making people feel like, well, if I succeed and I run in these circles, am I going to be one of them that I'm now being told that I should hate? Do you see that as something that might be part of the psychological block?
Absolutely.
Too? Yeah.
Any collective belief, it can be extremely limiting, particularly if we buy into that belief, then we can feel nervous. So our brains, like I talk a lot about the neuroscience behind this in my book, It's Good. Go Time, because I think it's very important to understand what's happening. But our brains, one of its jobs is to help keep us safe. So we have a part of our brain that is making decisions about how you live currently and to keep you safe. And if we hear a collective message saying this is bad or those people are bad, we're not going to want to join that. And I tackle that question exactly, Alan, in I have a brand new podcast called Thinking Vitamins, Actionable Ideas to Boost Your Abundance. And I tackle exactly that question in my episode number 2, which is I just did last week on how to leave the world a better place. Because we have these erroneous beliefs that it's us or them, right? We've been told, like, it's me. If I have, you will not, okay? And I call this choose your Kool-Aid with care. Choose what belief you buy into very carefully, because science actually does not back up at all. Decades of science have reinforced that the more fact that will spread. We have been told that it's like happiness at work or happiness at home. That's not the case. That is not the case. I help people build businesses that make their whole family lives richer. How do I do that? Right? And so are we really going to buy into this? I have to choose? Or are we going to have to buy into, well, if I become successful, I'm becoming one of them? Or if I become successful, I'm actually more able to be a part of the solution. So these are actually, I do think, dark messages from society that hold people back. And it's important to think deeply and richly and look at more sides of this equation.
Well, I'm going to go off topic for a moment, just because, first of all, I love the fact that you have that. And for anybody listening out there, I want to get this correct. So it was called Thinking Vitamins, plural or not plural?
Yeah, because a practice that Good. If you do it will change your life. Yes.
Good. Okay. So for everybody out there, it's called Thinking Vitamins. And for those watching and listening, you know that what I promote is the fact that we want to have more communication out there that is based on positive things. This is what I'm talking about. So when I'm telling you this, I'm not just telling you, you know, hey, listen to my show because we bring on people to talk about great things. I'm talking about the fact that we need to take shows like this, and we need to blow these up. Okay. We need to get this out to more people. And for those of you that are voting, if you have a politician that wants your vote, but at the same time, they're telling you, you need to hate somebody else, and that's their approach, that's not who you want. Okay. You want that person that says, hey, we're bringing something so positive that we're trying to bring everybody together until we start doing that. So, excuse me, as I digress for a little bit, but,
that was not a digression, in my opinion. This is critical conversation that we need to be having. For International Women's Month, I was blessed to be featured by a number of people because my company just got recognized by Entrepreneur Magazine, which got me out there a little bit. Yeah. And I spoke about how even, you know, anybody who's talking about hating someone else, what is going on? And I was speaking about, you know, women and furthering women. And I'm like, listen, we need to look forward. We need to point out what's working. Positive psychology proves that the more we focus on what's working, the more of that we get. And I think I did a talk for 1,000 people in a high profile construction company, mostly men, advanced positive. It's political. It doesn't matter if it's stances about COVID. It doesn't matter if it's about women's rights or the environment. It could be about anything. We need to move towards a positive future that we can all become a part of. I used to be a communications trainer, and I say, like, I'm Switzerland. I'm the place where two people with opposing views can actually have a good conversation. I've done that for my career, and I can't tell you how many people I've seen find a way forward when they're willing to talk.
Yep, you're right. Communication is what it's all about. I'm feeling great synergy with you, and the other thought that just popped in my mind is that I know a gentleman that started a business from scratch many years ago, and I've now met much of his family, and he's this really happy, great guy. And as I meet more and more of his family, so they envision this family. So sometime when we're off the air, I'll get you his information. He might be somebody you want to bring on your show to talk about exactly how he did it. And it's just one more piece of proof that shows it works.
Thank you, Alan. I appreciate that.
And time is flying by. So I want to get to a couple more things. But one of them is that you talk about in the book about life's purpose, which is something that I also believe in. Share with everybody why a life's purpose is so critical to the success. And if somebody doesn't know what their life purpose is, how do they discover it?
Okay. So the first part of that, sure. And how many minutes do I have? Yeah. Just checking. Okay, no, I'm going to good. I take the challenge. Okay. So the first question, critical to everyone, but certainly the people who come to me want to have a rich connection with life, who really want, I don't think our curiosity about who we are, why we're here, what is this crazy world and our role in it, I think that we will continue seeking to understand that for our entire lives. And so I think that getting on the path to our purpose is very important, and that when we're not on that path, we somehow know it, right? We somehow get sick, we don't feel well, we don't have energy. Every day in our hearts and minds, we're saying, I'm questioning where I am, I'm questioning where I am, I'm questioning where I am. It's maddening. So if that's happening to you, I would say the knock has come and it's time to get on the path. I will insert here, Alan, that one of the things I talk about in chapter 5 of It's Go Time is how to find purpose, particularly because it can be so frustrating to sort of figure it out. And one of the things I talk about, just so as listeners, if you've been looking and you're like, oh, it's hopeless, I've tried, I don't know. I think one of the problems is when I was researching purpose and had the good fortune to speak to some prominent and leading researchers in the area, that we think it's going to be like, there's going to be like a drum, like marching band. You know, what do you think it's going to be like when you find your purpose? You think it's like, there it is, my purpose. I found it, you know, it was under this rock. Everybody was over here, you know, and we think it's this thing we're going to find. And we should get fireworks for sure. A marching band, definitely drummers, right? Baton twirlers. Mm-hmm. It's worthy of something pretty big, but that's not what happens. It's usually more like, huh.
Now I've added something to my stack of things to do. You know, because I think I really want to do this, but how am I going to get to it?
Okay, well, so here's, aha, so you've just introduced a new idea. Yes. Purpose is something you can do usually by breakfast every day. So a lot of people, and that's the other thing, really understanding what a purpose is, purpose is never something like building a well somewhere. It might be elevating the dignity of humanity. And you can probably, and so the other thing that I've discovered is a lot of people are looking for a project, and a project and a purpose are two different things. Mm-hmm. A project can be purpose aligned, but a purpose, let's just say it is elevating, because the person who I interviewed, that was his, it was elevating dignity. This, and I've heard so many like shining a light on beauty. There's lots of what they breakfast again by noon and again by dinner, and it can be done with your family, with your friends, and through work. And so the beautiful thing is, it's not limiting; it's in fact enriching. And I like to describe purpose like, instead of, you know, the marching band, it's more like you get an acorn and you look at that acorn and think, how could you possibly become an oak tree? That's absurd, right? Anybody using their brain faculties could not picture this little thing becoming an oak tree. Mm-hmm. But if you nurture it, it will. And that's right. What I've noticed with my clients. So the activities to find purpose is not to go out and travel. Not to say you can't travel. I'm sure you're – go travel. But that's not necessarily what your purpose is. A construct for finding it that really works beautifully well is you write several stories that follow a certain set of instructions about your past, and you actually data theme those stories. I give like the whole – but you look for moment going, you know, there's certain criterion, and you find them through all your stories. It's not through these ones, but not those ones. And you find common themes, and then you nurture those themes in your life. If it made you feel good in the past, well, I mean, the simple answer is do more of that, and you'll feel good in the future. But conscientiously bring these things that made you feel good in your past into your today, and your tomorrow will just get more joyful every single day.
Well, and one of the things, and I want this, and so for everybody, think of this as like a teaser. So I know there isn't time for you to go into a deep answer, but talk a little bit about your time tools.
Oh,
Okay.
okay.
Okay. And I know we really only have about 2 minutes, but
Okay.
so for everybody out there, okay, you're going to get a little bit about time tools, but now that I started reading that part of it in the book, and I'm like, wow. Okay, this I get this because it's one of my issues as well. So I was like, okay, this is something I think a lot of people can get. So share a little bit about the time tools,
Oh
just to
boy.
give them
Okay, I'm
enough.
going to do this super. This is definitely a teaser, but here's the thing. There's a
Okay.
part of your brain that is predetermining what you see, say, and do milliseconds to up to 10 seconds in advance. And so the truth is, when you understand how to work with that part of your brain, that you will not need willpower anymore. Because what happens is, when you understand how to set a goal or objective correctly, you will automatically work on it. So, first of all, just know this. If you are struggling with working on something and you're procrastinating, there is a block there. And this is a tricky part. You could be either the block could come from the fact that you're moving in the wrong direction and it's your body sign to say go over there, or it could be that you're coming up against just a former message that doesn't serve you anymore and it's a limiting belief that it's time to go. So time tools, the way I like to use time tools is once is to really focus on getting very clear about your intentions in such a way that this part of the brain that doesn't have language can understand, so that you'll automatically want to work on it. I do think it's very important to look at goal setting, planning, and execution as a singular system. I teach a method called Mind Code, and I sell the course is available through my website directly, where I walk through the system, and I also teach a lot of it in my book, It's Go Time. Because if you sit down and use these tools, I was just talking on a podcast this morning in London, England, and we were talking about if you sit down and use these tools, the tools are smarter than me. He asked me, "What are the big mistakes?" And I said, "Mistake? It's always because I don't use my time tools. It's because I think I'm so smart because I created them that I don't have to use them." But the point is, when we use good process, it actually draws forth our smarts. And every time I try to outthink myself and go, I don't need this, I'm the creator of it, I have lackluster results. And so I would say process, really following a process. Even and the person I interviewed today, he's like a big leadership guy, or he interviewed me, and yeah, process is smarter than us. And so when we find a good process, follow it. And that's where you want to have a little willpower to develop those habits, and then your productivity will take care of itself.
Jill, thank you so much. I wish we had more time. I would love to have you back. I'll talk to Jan and let's get that set up. We had a couple of questions that came in. We didn't get a chance to get to them. So I have an idea what I'd like to do. And so one of us is from Zeta in Nevada. The other one is from Brian in New Jersey. And I'd like to send these to you, as well as we'll put them on our website as well. But if we send them to you, and we now give, if you can give the I guess website address or wherever it would be posted, they can go to there to get the answer. Is that
Definitely.
okay?
Yes. So the best place to get an answer for questions online is definitely through, so I don't have a spot on my website, but probably the best thing to do would be to come and find me. If you're on Facebook, I have Inspired Entrepreneurs Circle, and you could come in, ask in there, and I would answer it there.
Yeah, see, there's another great thing. But as long as we get them to you, then they know they can go to your Facebook page, they can go to your podcast, and you're going to bring them up in the next podcast, and I'm sure they'll get a lot of other great information. Jill, thank you so much. This has been a great thing that you're doing as far as putting information out there. I think right now, at a time in which we have a lot of big businesses sort of gobbling up little ones, getting information out to entrepreneurs to how to succeed, I think is going to help a lot of people. So thank you.
I appreciate your kind words and being on the show, Alan. I really enjoy talking to you.
All right. Take care. And for everybody out there, be sure to join us next week when we will have Melanie, she goes by Mel, Salvatore August. She's the author of Yoga to Support Immunity, Mind, Body, Breathing Guide to Whole Health. And I'm looking forward to this as well. And I've been working on breathing exercises as well. So, and for everybody out there, please go to our archives at past interviews at answers.network. Or just subscribe to the show through Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, YouTube, and so many others. If there's a podcast, if there's a platform you're listening to that doesn't have us, let us know and we will contact them and get ourselves put on there. And if you like what you hear, please leave a review. It helps us reach more people. And I want you to know it's greatly appreciated. Next time you're on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, please stop by our page, check out some of our latest posts. And if you like them, please like us and continue to spread the word. So for everybody out there, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers Network.
Hello, I'm Marty Cove. You might remember me from roles such as Sensei in the Karate Kid films. I've done over 100 films and countless stunts in my career, and I've always given 100%. With the damage done to my body over time, I needed to find relief from my chronic pain. My passion for health and fitness drove me to find a natural way to combat muscle pain. Teaming up with doctors, detectives, and a compounding pharmacist, we've created Marty's Cobra Cove Ultra Strength CBD Cream. It's the only thing that has been strong enough to knock out my pain, and fast. Honestly, you may have tried the rest, but it's time to try the best. It's legal, it's safe, and 100% effective. Show your pain, no mercy. Go to www.martyscobracove.com.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardozo.